Okay, folks, we have a special treat. Today is a special day, and so Chuck Cunningham is going to do a little sharing here to start with.
No clapping or anything?
I told him to hold the applause till after.
All right, well, it's 7:02 now. This is the Hebrews, or actually Yahweh's New Year. It started in Jerusalem. It was 6:38 at sundown, which began the New Year. And it's and our sundown in Wichita, Kansas, is not till 7:38. Yahweh's day is different than ours. It starts, it says evening and morning were the first day. He starts at sunset, not at midnight. Our day starts at midnight. So his day is starting at 6:38 in Palestine. That's Tishri 1, which is the first day of creation. Now, when I say in creation, I'm talking about Genesis 1:3, where Yahweh said, "Let there be light." So that is day one.
And Tishri is the name of the month.
The name of the month. Tishri is the name of the month. It is the first month. It was changed, and Nisan, or Abib, was the seventh month. And at the Passover, Yahweh had Abib or Nisan, the same month name, just changed. Reverse became the first month, and then Tishri became the seventh. So seven is very important, and so is one very important. Christ was born, this is according to Jesus Christ, our prophecy by the Way Ministry, which was done in 1988. And by their calculations of all the signs, you need to get the book. You know, you have to read the book in order to see it. But by all the signs, they calculated astronomical signs, and that's in Revelation 12, where the woman, the moon was at the foot of the woman, which is vertigo and all these things. And so they said Jesus Christ, or Yahushua Mashiach, was born today, Tishri 1, between 6:18 Palestine time and 7:38, because that's when the moon was at the feet of in Virgo. It's also a new moon. So a new moon means we can't see the moon. So the lunar cycle is 29 and a half days, and every feast day has to be a full moon. So there's three feast days, and, well, I would say the two feast days have to be a full moon. And that is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is Nisan the 15th, and obviously the Feast of Booths, which is this month, Tishri the 15th. So right now, Jews or Hebrews everywhere are celebrating the new year. Now, and it's also, Yahweh told us in Leviticus 23:24, that this is a day of shouting. So it's supposed to be a memorial day of shouting, and we gave sacrifices and numbers will show you what sacrifice to give. And people will call it the Feast of Trumpets, but the word trumpets is never in there, even though it's in your translations, but the word is not trumpet. It's actually the word shouting. And they never said feast. Feast is eating food. They never said feast either, but they've got it so at the, and on the new moon, it was required that a trumpet was blown every new moon anyway. So, to our best the best understanding, the Jews had no idea what Tishri was. Yahweh says, you're going to shout it and you're going to give these offerings. And that's once, you know, the sun goes down, that begins Tishri, that's the new moon. When we find out that Christ was born 3 BC, which was Tishri 1, between 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, which on that day, that was September 11th, on that particular Tishri, not this time, and it was done on a Wednesday. So this is Wednesday, Tishri 1. Let's see here. I think that's about it. But we do have papers on that if a person wants to do the research. And Tishri is Yahweh's favorite month. We need to know this. Now it's the seventh month, which we know seven is the number of perfection. There are three holy days in Tishri. No other month has this. So you have Tishri 1, which is the day of shouting, and we know now it's Christ's birthday. Christ got circumcised on what day?
Eighth day.
Yeah, so it would be Tishri the 8th. Mm-hmm. That's not a holiday, a holy day in the Old Testament. the 9th, Tishri the 9th, you were supposed to get ready for the day of propitiation, or people would call the atonement. And atonement is the incorrect word. Atonement means at-one-ment. And that's not what we're talking about. It's not at-one-ment. And on the altar, you know, in the Holy of Holies, it was not the mercy seat either. Yahweh didn't sit on it. It had nothing to do with mercy. It was called the propitiatory covering. Propitiatory means favorable. So you brought in sacrifice to make you favorable. So that's Tishri the 10th. They got ready on the 9th. And on Tishri the 10th, this is the only day the high priest went into the Holy of Holies. And I just read this. They got the blood from the bullock for him and his family. And I believe his two sons, but Nadab and Abihu, were killed by Yahweh by fire because they went into the Holy of Holies. And so it goes back here, and that's in Leviticus 10. If you read it through, you're going to find out where Yahweh is telling Aaron, do not go into this place without these garments and on this day. And only you can go in there. So he brought in blood to clean his family up, and then they brought in the goat, and that's cleaned up all the sins of the people. And we know in Hebrews, Yahushua is the high priest, and also he is the sacrifice also. That's the second day. So you have Tishri 1. Tishri 10 was the day of propitiation, which is really it's really three words. It's kafar. The Hebrew word is kafar, which means expiation, which a payment of a price. Propitiation, which means it's favorable, the payment's favorable. And then really reconciliation, which means we've been brought back together to Yahweh.
Yeah.
So really what happens on this is three things, and we don't have a word for it. So it's the word kafar.
And so it's all three things.
Yeah, it's hard to put one word for it. It's not going to do it. Yeah. Other people would say atonement, and atonement means at-one-ment. Yeah. And he's looking at it, well, it's not nothing to do with at-one-ment. So we just got to stop that. Okay, now that Tishri the 15th was 7 days of what, Aaron?
Rejoicing.
It's a harvest. And so it's called the Festival of Booths. And so the Hebrews, and my son Guy said, in New York they observe all these. And they were supposed to be in booths. And because we were in the wilderness 40 years living in booths and leaves just like that. And so in New York they'll have tents.
Leaves.
Well, the branches, you know.
Or so they would go out there,
and that's what it is. People say Feast of Tabernacles. Well, tabernacle is a booth. It's a habitation. Oh, okay. So in the wilderness, you made this. People got away from that, except in Nehemiah's time. And when Nehemiah was talking to him, he does mention Tishri 1 and Tishri 15th. And they ran out and went to the trees and cut down branches and everything else. And so 7 days you're in booths or in tents, because they're in the wilderness in tents, to remember their 40 years in the wilderness. And it was supposed to be 7 days of rejoicing.
Nothing but.
Yeah, nothing but rejoicing. And it was the end of harvest also.
No cranking.
So Tishri is very important. And give me the 3 days, Melania. You don't have to explain it. Just tell me the dates.
The 1st, the 7th, and the 15th.
No. Close. Anybody else?
1st, the 7th, and what?
Not the 7th.
9th.
10th. 1, 10, and 15. 1, 10, and 15. Good numbers, too. 10, we have the 10 commandments. We have the 10 plagues. All right, so 10 is a holy number. The 15th was also the new moon. The full moon. So one thing you have to remember, too, with our calendars is Gregorian calendar.
Gregorian.
Yahweh's calendar is the moon. You start off that way, and that's how that was the clock. It has to be reset because of the moon is 29 and a half days and not 30, the days are 365 and a quarter. We have to set ours every 4 years. Mm-hmm. They have to set theirs also. But the feast days, Tishri 1 has to be a new moon, period. And Tishri 15th has to be a full moon, period. You know, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is right after Passover, which is nice on the 14th, the 15th is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's when they left Egypt. full moon. It has to be a full moon. So they have to keep readjusting their calendar.
And that's our March?
On the moon. Well, it could be March or April.
Oh.
Because they lose a month. Now, sometimes they have to have 13 months to make up for it because, as you know, a 30-day calendar is 360 days. Where you're off five and a quarter days every year. That you have to, we're off a quarter day every year. So 5 days every, five and a quarter days in 5 years, you're off a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to readjust that to the lunar cycle. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Very good.
All right. Shauna, can you hear us?
I can.
We got some trivia.
Yay.
Okay, here we go. You guys ready?
Answer out there.
These are a little tougher, I think, this time.
Uh-oh.
So here we go.
Oh, it's not Minecraft.
That's all good.
Oh, she's here.
Okay, here we go. These ones here, this is trivia. It's Bibles first. So, it'll be the first of something happening, okay? So, first occurrence, first time, first of what we're talking about, that's category. We go, which is the first book of the Bible to mention locust?
Exodus.
Genesis.
Exodus. Leviticus.
Genesis.
Yeah, no.
Right. Mel's got one. Second one, who was the first to be struck blind?
Chick.
Wait, Job.
The girl is talking.
Job.
He made a song.
Yeah, Job.
Oh, yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Minnesota, that's correct. They were the first one. It happened again, but it did. That was the first, okay? Who was the first to be resurrected by Yehoshua?
Oh. Lazarus.
I think it's a widow's son.
Yeah, widow's
son.
Yeah, widow's son. Widow's son, that's correct.
Oh.
All right? Next one, who was the first female judge?
Deborah.
Me.
Judy.
Deborah.
That's you.
Sarah.
Deborah. Okay, two more. Here we go.
These bees.
She was the first man named as being left-handed.
Oh, God. I know
that. The big fat guy there.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Not left-handed.
The guy's thick.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Good yeah. Job, guys.
Yeah. The fat guy. I was trying to make you guys be for something the other way. You should have put the fat guy next
to you. Hey, guys. Who wrote the first letter ever mentioned? In other words, writing a letter to somebody.
David.
Paul.
David. There we go. I got a couple Krabby Patties for you guys.
Who did David write to?
To Joab. I put that on here too, just in case anybody asked. So good. Okay, there's our trivia. I like to do that because it gets me going too on there to see which ones I know and to go through. And I have a couple extra bonus ones I'm going to wrap into here as well.
Whoa.
Okay, our little sharing tonight is, it's going to be around Isaiah chapter 60. I really don't need a cat. Thank you though. I appreciate your help. Okay, and I started off this here. Okay, here's daily tasks. Rise and shine. First fruits to Yahweh, seize the day, go to bed, repeat. Okay? Nice and simple. Okay? Nice and simple. We'll keep it nice and simple.
Yeah.
And then this one here by the author unknown. Wherever you go, no matter what the weather, always bring your own sunshine.
That's interesting.
And I like that. I always like that because regardless of the conditions, you can always bring out something. And you think about that with, you know, Silas singing while they're in prison, chained up and been beaten, and they're singing. Yeah. I'm like, when they brought their own sunshine with them, they absolutely did. So this sharing tonight is, it's a rise and shine. And so as you guys start working your way to it, you go ahead and do that. Flip over to Isaiah 60. And we're going to go through some of this here tonight. So we're going to look at this. Now, what do you guys know about the book of Isaiah? It's prophetic. A lot of this is prophetic. Okay? Which means that it's prophesying of something to come. Okay? So, let's start off here. Everybody there on Isaiah, on page 704. And you see that right above the beginning of the chapter, it even says that. It says, arise, shine, with an exclamation point. They call the sign to dispel the deep gloom of the nations. What's been going on here? What's been happening? Things have not been so great up to this point. Okay? We've had captivity. We've got all kinds of problems because of the sin of the people. And what does it say here? Right off the very beginning here, it says, arise, shine. How many times did your parents say that to you when your kids are waking up? Yeah. My dad used to say it all the time. And he'd always be smiling and laughing and when he did it. And so we'd always, it would put us in a good mood as well. But it's arise, shine. You know, get up and you're like going, shouldn't have stayed up so late last night. I'm going to pay for it today. For the light hath come and the glory of Yahweh on thee hath beamed. Okay? This is going to be kind of the crutch of what we're looking at. The chapter 60, okay, as we go through here, here's the authorized version with the Strong's notes, okay? And so you see these here, and a couple things I want to point out to you. You see this here, shine, arise, shine, okay? Start with the arise. Is this word here, 06965, is kum. Okay, that's that word. It means arise. This is not egiro that we're discussing here. Okay, you know the difference between that. Okay, this is kum. And the shine here is 215 is or. That's the name of it. So that arise and shine is kum or. Okay, now look at the next one here for your light. See this here, 216? Okay, it is also from this. But you see on here, and I took some of it out because the explanations were huge. There was a ton of them. Okay, this is Yahweh as Israel's light. Okay, because that's what we're referring to here in this particular one. And based on their condition, but it's two different usages of it, but it's the same. You see that it's spelled the exact same. Okay, spelled the exact same and from it. All right. Next one here is when you go to the Rotherham, the Companion Bible, and you look at the notes here. We're going to look at a couple things here to start with. The arise, kum. Okay, remember, kum or means arise and shine. Kum or. You see this here, awake, arise, come down. It's a contrast to the cry of Babylon you see in 47, chapter 47, to come down, sit in the dust. Okay, it refers to the future. So what we're looking at in here as we go through this, we're going to study this, and I'm going to make this applicable to us today. But this is a prophetic thing here that we're looking at, okay? And so as we go through it, I'll show exactly what I mean. So you see a light, Israel's glory, the glory of Yahweh, Kabod, and blah, blah, blah. It shows you some other references here. But the way I want to show you on here that this is referring to the future, and it also tells you, see, for structure, see the next page. Here's the next page. The breakdown of it is 1 through 3, Israel's rising, come. Okay? And you see that the shining, Israel's rising, the shining, the glory of Yahweh, darkness covered the earth, darkness covered the people, rising of Israel. And so this is how, one thing I do like about how Rotherham breaks it down, is he'll break down the structure. And it's kind of nice because it shows a lot of the poetic nature of it that you might risk, that you might miss if you're just reading through and not actually glancing over at them all, you know, from time to time. So, let's start off here. And I'm going to read 1 through 7 here. We already read 1, so I'm going to start in verse 2. I'll start in 1 again. Arise, shine, for the light hath come, and the glory of Yahweh on thee hath beamed. For lo, darkness covereth the earth, and deep gloom the peoples, but on thee beameth Yahweh, and his glory on thee is seen. So shall nations come to thy light, the kings in the brightness of the dawning. Lift up round about thine eyes and see, they all have gathered themselves together. They have come to thee. Thy sons from afar shall come, and thy daughters on the side shall be carried. Verse 5. Then shalt thou say to shalt thou see and be radiant, and thy heart shall throb and be enlarged. For there shall be turned unto thee, unto the fullness of the sea, the riches of the nations shall come unto thee. The multitudes that of camels shall cover thee, and the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all they of Sheba shall come. Gold and frankincense shall they bring, and the praises of Yahweh shall they joyfully tell. This is a boasting. And all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall wait upon thee. They shall come up with acceptance on thine altar, and my beautiful house will I adorn. Okay? And so here's some cool things on there. You see that I've got a couple names underlined on here. Here's the extra credit portion of this. Anybody know who these are the descendants of?
Midian.
Midian and Ephah and Shechem.
Abraham and Keturah.
Oh.
Remember, Abraham married after Sarah died, and Abraham had six children from her. These are descendants from them. These are descendants that came directly from that, which is really neat. I would not have gleaned that had I not been doing both the companion Bible with this and looking to see, and I'm like going, okay, what these names don't really mean anything, and you know, for teaching, I thought, well, I'll look this up and see what we can have. So it's kind of neat to see that as well, that connection as well. Arise and shine. So as we look here, we're going to see as we go through this, the chapter 60 is prophetic. And this has not taken place yet. Okay? Mm-hmm. What has taken place that's been prophesied out of Isaiah?
The birth of the Christ.
Absolutely. Probably the biggest thing. The biggest thing that came from there. So we got a pretty good record from the book of Isaiah that he's pretty accurate, right? Yahweh's word, 60 here as we look at this, this is a future that's coming. Now this is also for this is inspiration too for the people who were in captivity as well. But as we go through here, what would be an opposite to arise and shine? Okay? Remember the footnotes that we just saw that was like, you know, you will be down in the dust? Okay? That's a pretty good opposite of this, okay?
Yeah.
Arise and shine would be like sit down and sweat, you know, sulk in your own thing, or you know, shy away, cower away, and keep your mouth quiet. Okay, so arise and shine is pretty good for a slogan to say. What are we looking at? What are we going to try to do? What does Yahweh want us to be doing? Okay, in Jeremiah, I've got a lot of scriptures, so some of these I'm going to read. Actually, why don't one of you kids read this for me here? This is Jeremiah 29:11. Go ahead, 11 and 12.
For I know the plans which I am planning for you, declareth Yahweh. Plans of welfare, not of
calamity,
to give you a future and a hope. So shall ye call upon me and go pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you.
Go ahead.
So shall ye seek me and find. For ye will inquire after me with all your heart.
That's it. And so what we're going to be looking at, and what my sharing is the focus to encourage people now to be rising and shine. Arise and shine as the body of Christ, as an individual member, as a family, as a group, as everybody in all levels to arise and shine. And this is what Yahweh's saying, that, hey, look, even in the times of horrible things where things are going, I know the plans I'm planning for you, plans of welfare. Boy, I'm glad the liberals aren't reading the Bible. Why would they misinterpret that? See? Welfare for all. Okay, that, you know what that word is? Shalom.
Peace.
Plans of peace and not calamity. That's what that is. Okay? Plans of peace and not calamity with a future and a hope. This is what Yahweh wants for all of us. And if we arise and shine, as we're going to see, that's what I love about this. It's great, you know, refreshing to go over this for the first of Nisan, the first month. And so as we look through this, and then we talk about that, the praising for a week, how important the praising is with this, okay, to go with this. So prophecies of Isaiah, some of these were not good. Okay, so when you get that prophecy that's coming from Yahweh, it says, hey, here's what's going to happen to you. Okay, a lot of times, you know, I look at that with Hezekiah. Hezekiah immediately made supplication, and his prophetic message, which was not good. I mean, 15 more years, okay, good.
Yeah.
But even with that, is it changeable? Mm-hmm. Depends on the person. Depends on what's going on. Was it changeable with them? When they kept being warned, here's what's going to happen to you. Was it changeable? It was. They did not change. And Yahweh saw this. And so Yahweh gave prophecy. So some of these are wrath to come. And we see that. We're going to see a lot of that that comes in Revelation as well. 29:4 of Isaiah. And thou shalt be brought low. Out of the earth shalt thou speak. Out of the dust shalt thou lower thine utterance. Okay? Not a good thing to be told. Obviously, nobody's speaking this because you're basically underground at that point. Arise and shine. 60th chapter. What does it bring? So the whole thing with this is newness.
Yeah.
This is a inspiration. Hey, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Let's get going. Let's get going. Rise and shine. Encouragement. Gentiles shall come to thy light. That's what I love with this, okay? Mm-hmm. At this point, what did that mean? Well, that's the nations. But what did that mean? Was Israel basically it? Yeah, that was it. That was it. So we're talking about things. Gentiles shall come to thy light. Kings to the brightness of thy dawning. past or present sins can be repented of if you are seeking and looking for Yahweh. So that's where, as you're going through, if you get yourself back in gear, get going back into this, and change your perception of things, you can do it. So why? Why do we need to plan on arise and shine? Okay, what's the point? So a couple points here to go through as I do this. Why we're commanded to, okay? That should be enough.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's today's Christianity. We basically have to sell it into people. Why do you want to do this? Well, some of them will tell you so you don't go to hell. Okay? Well, if you don't want to go to hell, so your inspiration now is, God, I really don't want to burn in hell my whole life. What do I have to do to not have that? Okay, what do I have to do? So that's the first one. We're commanded that to do this. Verse 1, okay? Not really a suggestion. Okay, and I put that on their purpose. Be interceding for Donna. I think that Shauna, Donna, you okay?
Becky went to sleep.
Okay, let's have a prayer real quick. Would somebody pray?
Father, in the name of Yahushua, we supplicate right now for Curtis. We thank you for comfort for him and for strength. We thank you for him coming to you for the comfort. And for Donna's strength and wisdom and sharing the word with him, and for Becky's family being comforted, we thank you that we know that we'll see her again because she loved you. Through Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, thank you. Okay, so back to this. Why arise and shine? Because we're commanded to. This is why I'm going to say to you, we're commanded to. It's because Yahweh's given us orders of what He wants us to do. Is it a far stretch to say that yes, this is in the future, but Yahweh's telling him to arise and shine now? Okay, of what's coming and what's your future is going to be. Not a suggestion. So I always think about that. You know, it always brings me back to when I was in the military and my first night in basic training. You know, it was. What was it, April? And so we're in San Antonio, and the windows are open. There was no air conditioning in our building. We were on the third floor. It's hot. It's pretty warm already. And so the windows are open. I finally fall asleep. It was late. They confiscated all my candy and all my goods. Okay, that I got a big care package. I guess my family thought they weren't going to feed me, and I end up paying for that because as I'm sitting there, we put all our stuff on these bunks, and this looks like World War II bunks. I mean, this is what it looks like. 50 people in a room, okay, and they're all positioned exactly across from each other, and I'm standing there at the end of my bunk at attention, and I'm kind of, my eyes are kind of gandering around, and most people would have like a half a pack of gum, maybe a few Lifesavers, no food, no candy, no anything, and I've got a shoebox that was stuffed full, laying on my bed going, great, great, so here I am already standing out. The guy comes down and he's like, damn, boy, did you not think we were going to feed you? And I'm just like going, just keep quiet, don't say anything, and they're loaded all up, and I'm thinking to myself, at least you guys eat this. Don't throw it in the trash. Okay? But the next morning comes around. Now, they told us we get 8 hours of sleep, guaranteed. Guaranteed 8 hours of sleep. Okay? At 10 o'clock at night, we're still going through shakedowns and doing all this stuff. No big deal. I'm thinking to myself, should we remind them that we're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep? Probably not a good idea. And so, go to sleep, finally get to sleep, you know, in your new place, it's hot, people are snoring, I'm, you know, kind of trying to gather, what the hell was I thinking, you know, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm in my cot, and I finally am going to sleep. I was smart enough to bring those foamy earplugs, so I put them in so I could just tune out. Is somebody watching that dog? I'm sorry, is that a dog? Okay, thank you. But the reveille goes off at 5 o'clock in the morning. Okay, and it's, our windows are open and the speaker is right outside there and it's up high. So it's like somebody put it right into our window. And I am in a dead sleep now. And I jumped up out of bed and ran right into my wall locker. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's no guy coming in. The drill sergeant didn't come in and say, hey guys, I'm going to slowly turn up the lights, all right? I think it'd be a good idea if we all come downstairs and we're going to run and then we'll have breakfast. No, he's got a trash can lid and like a shoe or something and he's beating it, yelling at us at the top of his lungs. Get down here, get down. I'm just like going, okay, okay. So when Yahweh speaks to us, These are not suggestions, okay? We're looking at commandments and the differences between them. Okay, so it's not a suggestion when we do this. And that's where a lot of people now, where they'll pick and choose, you know, what do I like, what do I not? I will do this, I won't do that. And it's a battle for me. There's parts of it you're just like, no! I gotta work myself to this point. I've gotta work myself to this point. Keep edging, keep pushing to this point. Keep getting that point. Okay, Psalms 19:7. The law of Yahweh is complete, bringing back the nephesh, that's the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is confirmed, making wise the simple. The precepts of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. Okay, so if we do need to have that inspiration for why we listen to Yahweh and His commandments, here it is. Okay, here it is out of Psalms. It's complete. It strengthens or feeds the soul, the nephesh, if you will. Okay, and that's where I love it when you hear about the people who say, the people who are in the Word, the testimonies of how they seek for your commandments. Let me make sure I know what they are, that I am in line with it. Yahweh gives a command. The end game is good for those that are in obedience to Yahweh. Even if you feel like your predicament is bad, boy, I'll tell you what a great opportunity for faith to just abound, to superabound, okay, during those times. Psalms 119:89. Melania, why don't you read that for me, please?
Age abiding. Oh, Yahweh, hath thy word been set up in...
Sorry.
...in the heavens... to generation after generation is thy faithfulness.
That's it. Has your word been set up to the heavens? So Yahweh's words are concrete, okay? We can count on them. Now again, the prophetic messages that came out that were, here's what's going to happen to you, are subject to change, which is awesome. Because what Yahweh promises that's good, He's going to deliver. What Yahweh promises that's wicked, it's up to you. It's up to you. Do you want it? Do you not want that? Okay? The way you're going, you're dealing this out to yourself. And so this is what I love about how He says this. Next one. The authority. Okay? So the rise and shine. So what authority do we have to arise and shine? Can we command anyone? And think about that. If you go to the airport and there's like a kid standing right before you get to the security checkpoint, and he's like going, I'm going to need to see your bags. You'd walk by and you'd pop him by the head and push him over. Get out of my way. You have no authority. Absolutely no authority. And so we know that. Problem is, Christians don't know their authority. And so we have to always remind ourselves. That's where I love that thing that Aaron had from his teaching last time. I downloaded that so I could play that. And part of that that hits me is when the adversary tells you your past, what do you say? You remind him of his future.
Right.
Okay? I'm like, great, because he will. He's going to come, he's going to tell you. Remember when you did this? Oh, those were bad things. Those are bad. And that's what I'm like going, you're right, I've repented. You know what your future is, scumbag? Okay, I know what's going to happen to you. Okay, I know what's going to happen to you. And do these things. And as you're doing this, be boasting. And that, I'll tell you, if you want a quick pick-me-up, 3 minutes is like, what, 3 minutes and 10 seconds? Holy cow, at the end of that, I can feel my heart racing.
Yeah.
I honestly can, so it's excellent. Okay, Yahweh's the chief author of commandments. Command versus suggestion, and I remember this in the military. We would have directives for our aircraft, for everything that we did. And it specifically told you, just like this book here at the beginning, it'll give you, hey, let's break these down. This is what this word means. This is what this means. When you see this, here's what this means. The beginning of all our stuff, okay, in the military. We're operating airplanes. Some of them are very expensive. Equipment very expensive. There were times it would say, will, shall, mandatory. There is no deviation from that. Mm-hmm. May... okay, means that it can be used as discretionary, okay? So when we're looking at command versus suggestion, it's the will shall versus may. And it's important to know that. And so the arise and shine is not, well, if I feel like it, if I wake up today and I had a good night's sleep, if I woke up today and everything's running my way, okay, this is not what it is. Ezekiel 12:25. Isaiah, would you read that for me, buddy?
Yep. For I am Yahweh, I will speak whatsoever, for I please.
Words. I speak, please to speak.
I please to speak and this shall be done.
That's it, okay? So guess what? Yahweh gets to speak. His commandments aren't subject for interpretation, okay? We're to know these, and when we miss them, okay? And we do. We're constantly going through, and guess what? Something new comes up, and you're like going... whoa, been doing that wrong for a while. Yeah. Okay, and so, hey, all right, great, we've got it. And we can intercede, remember in James. Anybody lacks wisdom, what do? Okay, we come before, that's right, and ask Yahweh, am I missing something? And Yahweh will enlighten us. He'll give us those things, okay? Do we have a reason to rise and shine?
Amen.
That would be the next one. Yahweh's fulfilled promises, okay? Let's flip back a few pages here to 53. Okay, it's not very many. 53, 3 through 5. Elijah, why don't you read this for us here when we get there? It is on page 698.
3 through 5.
Yes, please.
Despised is he, forsaken of men, mean of pain and familiar with sickness, yea, like one from whom the face is hidden, despised, and we esteemed him not. Yet surely our sickness he carried, and as for our pains he bare the burden of them. But we accounted him stricken, smitten of Elohim, and humbled. Yet he was pierced for transgressions that were ours, and crushed for iniquities that were ours. The chastisement for the well-being was upon him, and his stripes were healed for us.
That's it. That's exactly it. And I drew a note right across from there, okay? From 4 through 6, if you look over there in verse 12, okay, that yea, he, the sins of many bear. Okay? That this was, as you can think about this as Yahushua's reading this. This is to come in his time. So even when Yahushua's reading this thousand years later, he's reading this going, this is what's going to happen. And he's going to be pierced for it. And he's going to pay the price, a heavy price, for something that he had nothing to do with. Okay? None of his sins was he paying for. So do we have reason to it? Somebody else paid for our sins, for crying out loud. We don't have to sacrifice anymore. Okay? We don't have to do a blood sacrifice because Christ is it. Okay? That's huge. You think about that. You think about the livestock that we would have to have and the things we'd have to do.
That puppy.
That's right. Oh, yeah. No. Yes, that this is what you have to do because of the sins of us. And a reminder. And so we have to remind ourselves as well what Christ paid for us, what he absolutely did. So do we have a reason? Let's go to John. We're going to read a couple scriptures here. John 8.
Bigger than John.
Big John. Big John.
Big Ben.
Big Ben John. Okay, we're going to be on page 101, roughly. Who's it? You want to read this, sweetheart? 8, verse 12. Now, anybody here see this? When you're looking through your Bible, where's 1 through 11 of chapter 8? Mm-hmm. You guys know why?
Because it's not in there.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Okay, so chapter 8, 12 there. Go ahead, sweetheart.
Again, therefore, unto them spake Jesus, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall know his walk in darkness. But shall have the light of life.
That's exactly it. Have the light of life. Have the light of life. So as we're talking about this with the light, it's awesome because one Nisan was what? The day that the light was created, okay? And this is it. This is the light. Everything with the light. Arise and shine. What are we shining? We're beaming. We're literally beaming is what we're supposed to be doing. Next one, Romans. Flip over to Romans over a few more pages. Chapter 8, 16 through 17. Melania, once you get there, we're going to be on page 157-ish. Actually, 157 is it. Okay, and we're going to be reading 16 and 17. 157?
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
The Spirit itself beareth witness together with our spirit that we are children of Yahweh. And if children, heirs also, heirs indeed of Elohim, but co-heirs with Christ. If at least we are suffering together in order that we also may be glorified together.
That's it. And so again, this should be highlighted in everybody's word that we are heirs indeed of Yahweh, but co-heirs with Christ. Well, guess what? If we are the body, that means we are part of the Christ. Is that reason to be shining? Okay? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Praise, this portion of it. Praise. Arise and shine. A praise. So when you ever see somebody who is boasting about somebody that they care about, like you boast about your kids, or you boast about something about, man, this is great. You never see somebody look depressed. How was the movie with you? Oh, it was great. You know, how's your kids doing? Oh, they're doing great. Okay, not snuffleupagus here. Okay, you see people that when they're praising, when they're boasting, that's going to shine out of them. I do that when I'm telling my testimony. People sit there and you can see it. It flows from one to another as you're bearing testimony and praising Yahweh. Look what he did for me. All these things, and you start telling these things. In the back of my mind, I think to myself, I wonder if this person's going to think, who the hell is this guy? What does he think he is? He thinks he's special? I'm like going, yes, I am. I am special. You are too. Okay? And this is what's available. Okay? And what I'm sharing with you is a teeny little sliver of what is out there that we can't even comprehend. Only the living can praise. Arise and shine. Okay? Praise. And so what's it say here? Go ahead. Isaiah, you read this one here. This is out of Isaiah as well.
Okay. For Hades cannot praise thee, nor death celebrate thee. They who go down in the pit cannot wait for thy faithfulness. The living, he can praise thee as I do this day. A father to his children can make known thy faithfulness.
That's it. And so what we're saying here is we're praising. And so guess what we can't do when you die? Well, here's a news flash. You don't go up and kiss the face of God. Okay? Because if you did, you'd be praising him. And you'd be celebrating with him, obviously. Okay? Nor doth death celebrate thee. Okay? So when we see this, while we have breath, which I think is my next one, okay? While we have breath, what are we supposed to be doing? Everything that has breath. And so when you hear that, when you do that, when you look at this, this is it. Very last verse of the book of Psalms, 150, verse 6, let every breathing thing praise Yah. Praise ye Yah. Hallelujah. That's what that is. Praise ye Yah. Hallelujah. And so when you hear things outside, okay, when you hear the animals, you should be thinking to yourself, gee, they have breath. Okay, they're praising, the praising, and this is how we're supposed to be praising when we have breath, because when you do not have breath, there's no more praise. Let's flip to 2 Corinthians. Okay, and I won't keep, everybody keep a finger, by the way, in Isaiah 60. Sorry. anyway, 2 Corinthians, page 185. Okay, we're going to be doing 5, 14 through 17. I'll read these. Page 184, I believe. Okay, chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Everybody there? Okay, for the love of Christ constraineth us, having judged this, that one in behalf of all died, hence they all died. In behalf of all died he, in order that they who live no longer for themselves should live, but for him who in their behalf died and rose again. That's it. Okay, that's 14 through 17. Okay, that's what we're showing here. And so when we're supposed to be doing this, what Christ paid for us, we're not supposed to suffer with him, okay? We are supposed to be suffering, but we are supposed to be living for Christ. Christ died so that we could live for him. And as he does, he becomes our head, and we are his body, okay? And so that is the nature of it. That's the thing. And so the new creation, wonderful thing, new creation brings newness, which is the arise and shine part, okay? Body of Christ, authority now is given to us as the body of Christ. So what are we supposed to do here? Well, how are we supposed to do that? How are some ways that we can lift ourselves up to get to the rise and shine? Arise and shine. Thy words, this is out of Jeremiah 15:16. Who read last time? Okay, Melania, why don't you read this one for me, please?
Thy words were found, and I did eat them. They became thy words unto me, the joy and gladness of my heart. For thy name hath been called upon me, O Yahweh, Elohim of hosts.
That's it, okay? I did eat them. I did eat them. So when we talk about consuming, this is the goal. This is the goal for that, is to get so deep into this that you are devouring, absolutely devouring them. The opening of thy words sheddeth light. giving understanding to the simple. My mouth have I opened wide and panted, because for thy commandments have I longed. Now think about that in Psalms with somebody that you're so intrigued with this that it makes you pant to the thought of devouring and eating the word of Yahweh. Okay, arise and shine. Be committed to Yahweh's work. This is another one that when we're looking to arise and shine, we have to set ourselves apart. How do we get to this point that we're shining? Okay, because the shining is what people are seeing, but it also is going to place us in position. You are the light of the world. It is impossible for a city to be hid on top of a mountain, lying. Neither light thy a lamp and place it under measure, but upon a lampstand, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. In like manner, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Okay? So what are we doing when we're shining?
We're
glorifying our Father who is in heaven. Okay? And this is what Yahweh's telling us to do. And guess what? By doing this, by shining, we are emitting praise. We are emitting praise. When you are out shining and beaming, and people see you without you even having to open your mouth, you are praising Yahweh because they are seeing it in you. Okay? And that's a great way to start. The promises of Yahweh should energize us. Let's flip over. I think this is our last scripture. Let's go back here to Daniel. Okay, Daniel 12, going to be on page about 859. Chapter 12, 1 through 3. Wendy, would you read this for me once everybody gets there? Page 859.
Got it. And at that time will Michael, the great ruler who standeth for the sons of thy people, make a stand. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation up to that time. And at that time shall thy people be delivered, every one found written in the book. And many of the sleepers in the dusty ground shall awake. These shall be to age-abiding life, but those who reproach an age-abiding abhorrence. And they who make wise shall shine like the shining of the expanse, and they who bring the many to righteousness like the stars to time's age abiding and beyond.
That's it. Now, has that happened? Now, are we to this point yet? Have we got to there? Okay. No, because the many sleepers in the dusty ground shall awake.
Yeah.
Okay, this is a prophetic that's going to happen, that's going to take place. And so when we read these things and we go through and we see the words, the prophetic words, and we know what our future is, even in a bad time, even when the children of Israel were in captivity, there's still encouragement, there's still hope, and there's still where we need to rise and shine even in the place we are. That's why I started off with this, wherever you are, bring your sunshine, okay, regardless of the weather. This is what this is, to rise and shine. Last one, let's go back to Isaiah 60. Okay? And I'll read this here. We're not reading the whole chapter, but we read a portion of it. If you guys want to read that, this is a great, great chapter in the book of Isaiah that's a newness, that brings in a newness, arise and shine, and we're going to read how this ends here, because this is great. We're still in Isaiah. So Christ is reading this, okay? And Christ is getting to see what's going to happen. And some of it's applicable to him. Some of it is after him. Okay? And so here we go in verse 15. Instead of being forsaken and hated, so that none used to pass through thee, I will make of thee an excellency, age abiding, the joy of generation after generation, and thou shalt derive sweet nourishment from the nations. Yea, on the bounty of kings shalt thou be established. Remember when we read that earlier, okay, about that, how the nations, the Gentiles would be bringing in, okay, we're reading this, similar to this again, and the bounty of kings shalt thou be sustained. So shalt thou know that I, Yahweh, am thy Savior. Okay, Yahshua is what that is there. And that thy Redeemer is my mighty one of Jacob. Instead of bronze, I will bring in gold. And instead of iron, I will bring in silver. And instead of wood, bronze. And instead of stones, iron. And I will appoint the oversight of thee to prosperity, and the setting of thy tasks to the righteous. Violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting nor destruction with the boundaries. But thou shalt call the walls victory, and the gates praise. Thou shalt no more have the sun for light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but Yahweh shall become thine age-abiding light, and thy Elohim thine adorning. No more shall go in the sun, nor the moon withdraw itself, for Yahweh will become to thee an age-abiding light. So shall it be ended the days of the morning, and the people shall all of them be righteous. To times age-abiding shall it possess the land, the sprout of mine own planting, the work of mine own hands, that I may get myself glory. The little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a mighty nation. I, Yahweh, in its own season will hasten it. Okay? And so this is what we see here, the prophetic portion of this. That's the beginning of 60, arise and shine, and then the ending of it, telling us what's going to happen. Here is Revelations 22:5, the very last chapter of Revelations. And night shall be no more, and they have no need of the light of a lamp or the light of a sun, because the Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, will give them light, and they shall reign unto the ages of ages. Okay? And that's our forecast. That's what we have on the horizon. That's what we know we have secured with, which should give us the ability to rise and shine and get up above everything. And it's a lot of that is your perception. I remember hearing somebody saying that. It was a motivational person. I can't remember how exactly they put it, but they told you the first step is right here. Okay, it's right here how you're going to start it and how you're going to approach something, whether or not you go in with positiveness or you go into it with negativity. And so if you come into it, if you approach things with that, so every day it should be something that elevates us, something that we have. You know, you should have a goal that gets you to where I am striving for this. I am striving for this point to get us to get up and get moving and to keep ourselves there where we can keep going. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and close, and we'll have a word for those watching as well. Yahweh, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your opportunity to work within us and speak within us and speak through us, so we're able to manifest. And the Yahweh, that we do desire to arise and shine for you, that we may glorify you, and that we may glorify your Son, who is our head. That as we do these things, that we choose you every day, and that we pin our own bodies and our own sins to the cross daily, that we walk in righteousness and obedience to you, and that you enlighten within us, Yahweh, the things that we need to be doing, that we put aside our own wishes and our own desires, knowing that you are a righteous Elohim and a wonderful Father who wants to give us more than we can possibly imagine. So we are not suffering through as rats looking for the next meal. For you have told us that we are higher than your messengers. And so, Yahweh, we are the body of Christ. And so we call upon you that we are standing in faith and walking righteously and shining brightly before you, that we may be well-pleasing to you and bring great glory to you. And we thank you for the words, for the blessings that you put upon us, and for the comfort and healing for all those around us who are in need of this. We speak this all in your Son's name, and through Christ Jesus, we say these things. My sons and daughters, know that as you do call before me, that I do instruct you to see my word and to follow my ways, that as I see you, sitting at a desk, almost banging your head against a desk, wanting to know what you're doing, and being stuck in a rut and stuck in your daily life of the things that you're doing. And don't put yourself in a position like this. For I have not painted you in a corner, but I am an Elohim. I am a creator who can pull you from that corner. If you reach out to me, do not stand by thinking that, what have you ever done for me? What have you done for me? Well, I'm calling to you to come to me, that I may be able to do things through you, as you make your decisions, firstly to come before me and fall down upon your knees and repent and know my Son and know the things and know the words that I have given to you, that I will speak these through you, that I have wonderful gifts and wonderful missions to work through you. And so put down the pencil and put down the things that you are tasking yourselves with right now, that as you see that are just, it's stacked too high, the bills, the frustrations, the commitments that you've made, that these are daunting to you and they're weighing you down heavily. And I'm calling to you to come to me first, to give to me these things first, as odd as that may seem, that as you come to me and give me your first fruits, that I will repay tenfold for these things, hundredfold for these things, that I will work with you, and that it's great delight of what I have. Is it anything for me to place wealth within my children? For it is easiest for me saying it to happen. So don't think of anything except for what I call upon you to do, and put away the things of this world and choose me first and come to me first with these first fruits. Amen.